Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. This is your hostess, Evangelist Janet Taylor, coming to you live tonight from Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministry. Seems like it's been a while. Wasn't with you on last week. I was out of town preaching the gospel. But I tell you, it's good to be back tonight. So we just want to give you a little bit of information about the ministry for those of you who are just tuning in. If you want to contact us, you can find us on the internet at www.wallsoffiredeliverancemin.com. That's www.wallsoffiredeliverancemin.com. Our email address is jet245@msn.com. Also, you can call us at area code 336-830-0601. And you can snail mail us at P.O. Box 1148, Walkertown, North Carolina, 27015. And we'll be happy to write you back. If you call us and we miss your call, we'll call you back. And if you email us, we will email you back. Glory be to God in the highest. We'd like to invite you to join us Monday through Saturday at 12 noon for the sweet hour of prayer, and on Sunday night at 8 p.m. for the sweet hour of prayer. That's 12 noon Eastern Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we will pray for you, pray with you, and we pray as a group for our nation and for one another, and even for others. We pray for people we've never even met before. Just give us a call. Join us on the prayer line at area code 425-436-6333, and the access code is 716-5050. That's 425-436-6333. And the access code is 716-5050. If you have a prayer request, go on our website and leave us a contact, and write your prayer request on our website, and we will pray for you, and also we will respond. So there are several ways if you want to get in touch with this ministry. If you are being blessed by this ministry and would like to sow a seed, you can do so through PayPal or Zelle. Our email address for the ID for PayPal is jet245@msn.com. And we appreciate any seed that you sow. Nothing is too big or too small. We just pray that you're led by the Holy Spirit as you sow. So tonight we want to get into the Word of God, which is found in the book of Hebrews. Now, before I start, I want to talk to you a little bit about what's going on. We saw the eclipse on Monday, and that was a beautiful thing. And a lot of people were afraid and had different, things concerning that. But it was a very beautiful, I didn't see it naturally. I saw some of the videos of it, and it was a very beautiful phenomenon. Only God can do things like that. And people were afraid to fly. People thought, oh, the planes are going to fall out of the sky and this, that, and the other. And, of course, none of that happened. And so now we're seeing, these earthquakes in New York and in New Jersey. And what we have to do is pay attention to these signs. Now, we are not astrologists, and we don't follow, the stars. We don't do that. The Bible forbids that. But what we do is we take note of the signs. So that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, is the shaking. The shaking has begun. Not many weeks ago, I did preach and share with you a message called It Has Begun. And in that message, talked about the shaking although I never really used the word shaking, I talked about some things that we're seeing, the judgment that we're seeing or the judgments that we're seeing taking place in our society. And what I talked about was that the Bible clearly tells us that judgment will begin at the house of God. And so what God gave me to speak to the body of Christ about was that it has begun. Judgment has already begun, and we can see these things unfolding right before our very eyes. So I just want to talk to you tonight about the shaking that the Bible talks about. And I'm going to talk about it from a spiritual and a natural perspective. So if you would go with me to Hebrews chapter 12, glory be to God, and let's look at what the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to start around verse 26. And it says, I'm going to start in the middle of the verse. So it says, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So let us begin. And let me go to the second scripture, which is 1 Peter 4 and 17, because everything that I say tonight, I want it to be backed up by scripture. It says, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, or shall I say with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. I'm going to talk tonight. Subject is the shaking has begun. We are living in the last days, so that those who are called to preach the gospel, I'm talking to preachers now, ministers and preachers, we who are called to preach the gospel, because we are living in the last days, we had better preach the gospel like never before. 2 Timothy 4 and 3 tells us, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. That is why I got to preach the gospel like it's going out of style, because in reality, it is going out of style. People no longer have an appetite for the word of God. People want to jump. People want to shout. People want to their flesh to be moved. But when it comes to the word of God, people don't want to hear it. They say, oh, that's out of date. That don't apply to us. Times have changed. I'm talking about even other believers feel that, you know, we don't need to preach so hard. We just need to soften it up so that people can receive it. Jesus did not soften it up, and neither will I. He called it an ace, and he called a spade a spade. Even John the Baptist said, you generation of vipers. We have to tell the truth to people. We have to tell them that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. But we also have to tell them, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So we have to tell them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because of the apathy toward the gospel, I have to declare it God's holy word and to exalt the name of Jesus like never before. Playtime is over. And the shaking, it has begun. What is the shaking, you ask? I'm glad you asked. The shaking is the removal of dead things. Let's look at the scripture. He said, and yet once more signifieth the removal of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So in the shaking, there's a removal going on. Modern day people use the word purge, all right? And if you think about trees, at a certain time of the year, you have to prune the branches. You cut away the part that is no longer essential, or it is the dead things, really. You prune those things, prune dead branches. You prune anything that can subtract nutrients from the tree or the plant. And you do this so that when it grows back, there will be more growth, and it will be a healthier tree and a healthier plant. I saw my neighbor go out and prune his trees, and I've watched him because I had never seen anyone actually do that. And when they grew back the following year, they were bigger. They had more blossoms. They were much more lovelier plants. So what am I saying? The removal of dead things is necessary. God knows what is producing life and what is not. He knows the dead things. So he is the shaking. He is allowing the shaking for the removal of the dead things. And there are some dead things that have attached itself to the body of Christ. And we know they're dead things because they have no life in them. So God has to remove them and purge them so that the church can grow. There's some dead preachers, dead pastors, dead ministries, even some dead churches. And everything that is dead, it's got to go. Because the Bible says that the anointing destroys the yoke. So if it's not alive and anointed, it's just the opposite. It's dead, and it's got to go. If you will turn with me in your Bible, we're coming back here to Hebrew, but turn with me to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Glory be to God. Let's look at this. We'll start at the 6th verse. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and he sought fruit thereon and found none. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. But if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So let's break this down. This is a parable, and it is a parable about Israel. But tonight it's about the people of God. So I want to use it as an analogy concerning the people of God. A certain man, which is Jesus Christ, he had this fig tree, which are the people of God, planted in his vineyard, came and he sought fruit. Now the Bible says, you shall know a tree by its fruit. An apple tree does not have to go around proclaiming it's an apple tree. You know that it's an apple tree when you see some apples hanging on that tree. The same with a peach tree. You know that's a peach tree when you see some peaches on that tree. So he came looking for some fruit on this tree. It's supposed to be a fruit-bearing tree, and he had every right to expect fruit on this tree. Remember, the Lord is a fruit inspector. So he came looking for some fruit on the tree, but the scripture says he found none. Then he said unto the vineyard dresser, he said, I've been here 3 years. I've come to this tree for 3 years in a row looking to find fruit on this tree. And I found none. And he said, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? In other words, he's saying, I've been coming here for 3 years looking for fruit on this tree. And I haven't found any fruit. It has not bared any fruit the first year, the second year, or the third year. And then he says something very, very important. He said, why cumbereth it the ground? When something is cumbering or cumbersome, that means it's a burden. It's bothersome in the way. This is a tree that's sucking up nutrients but ain't bearing no fruit. This is a tree that's in the way. This is a tree that's taking up space. This is a dead thing. Ain't producing no life. Because fruit is a sign of life. Yeah, you don't find fruit on dead trees. You only find fruit on healthy, living trees. So he said, he made a judgment. He said, cut it down. That seems like a sharp, you know, thing to say. But that is what he said. He said after 3 years of disappointment, it's time to go. It's got to go. It's in the way. And then the vine dresser said, Lord, let it alone. He interceded for the tree. He said, let it alone this year. In other words, Lord, give it the remainder of this year. Give it one more chance. He said, let me dig about it and dung it. Now, when you dig around the tree, you're loosening up the roots because maybe the roots, maybe you have root rot. Or maybe the roots are not getting any air. Or maybe the roots are not getting the water that it needs. So he said, let me dig around it and dung it. To dung something means to fertilize it. So he said, let me work on it a little bit, Lord. Just give me the remainder of this year. He said, and if it bear fruit, then well. He said, but if not, thou shalt cut it down. I'm telling you, we are in this season. Everything that is not bearing fruit for the kingdom of God, every church, every minister, every pastor, every ministry, I don't care what it is, if it's calling itself a ministry, lifting up the name of Jesus, and it ain't bearing no fruit, it's got to go. It's got to go in Jesus' name. And I'm going to tell you something. That's where the shaking begins. Because what God is doing, he's doing what the vine dresser did. He's going to dig around it and cut out all the rotten stuff. He's going to dig around it and get rid of whatever's blocking the nutrients from getting to this tree. He's going to dig around it, make sure it's getting plenty of air, the flow of the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, in some people that don't embrace the Holy Spirit, they reject the Holy Spirit. God said, I'm getting rid of it. Whatever's causing this tree not to bear fruit, it's got to go in this season. The shaking has begun. Glory be to God in the highest. So I encourage everyone that's under the sound of my voice tonight is to examine yourself and see where you are in the faith. The Bible says, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Make sure you're in right standing with God. Don't worry about sister so-and-so. Don't worry about brother so-and-so. Don't worry about the pastor or the deacon. Make sure you're in right standing with God. Because God is shaking things so that he can remove all of the dead things. Everything that's dead, the shaking is for that purpose. It is to remove those things that cannot be shaken. In other words, everything that cannot be shaken will remain, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Glory be to God in the highest. The shaking is to remove everything that God can't use. See, it's a lot of ministries. You see churches on every corner. It's a lot of ministries that God did not ordain. They're not of God. They weren't sent. They just went. Startups. They just started up on their own. Somebody said one day, I think I'll be a pastor. Made himself a pastor. Got him a little following. Started having church. But God never called that individual to pastor. As a matter of fact, So many lone rangers out there on their own, just doing things. And they ain't even had no training. Ain't nobody laid hands on them. They doing what they saw somebody else do. And then you got those that got the copycat spirit. They want to be like Pastor so-and-so. They have been called, and God have sent them, but instead of them staying in their own calling, they trying to see what Pastor so-and-so down the street is doing so they can do that too. That's not of God. God didn't call us to have copycat spirit. If God called you to the ministry, he called you to unto himself, and he will instruct you. That's what the Holy Ghost is for, to lead, teach, and guide us in the way that we should go. Sin is death. There is no life in sin. The shaking has already begun. Now, when we look at it in the natural, there were two earthquakes almost 2 days apart. One in New York, 4.8 on the Richter scale. One in New Jersey, 3.8. Now, the Lord is trying to tell us something. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24. Glory, hallelujah. Matthew 24 tells us, he said, we're going to look at Matthew 24 and verse 4. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences. That word pestilences means plagues, and earthquakes in diverse places, in different places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. We see these things happening even on this week. A tornado has already been predicted. Let me tell you something. People of God, better wake up. Better wake up now, because there is a lot of activity going on in the spiritual realm. And we must never forget that the thief cometh but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan knows that his time is short, and he is taking people out of here any way he can. So we had better pay attention. We had better get in the secret place, hidden in Christ Jesus, in the ark of safety, because that's the only place where you're safe. Where is the ark of safety? In the Word. In the Word of God. We had better cut these televisions off, cut everything off, this Facebook, TikTok, all of this Instagram. We have better cut all of this stuff off. Anything that's hindering you and keeping you from drawing close to God, you better turn this stuff off. Found doing what the scripture said when God called Joshua. He said, meditate in my word day and night, night and day. Why? Because there is a shaking going on. God is shaking. He's shaking out wickedness. He's shaking out unrighteousness. He's shaking out secret sin. He's shaking out iniquity. He's shaking out transgression. He's shaking out violence. He's shaking out corruption. God is shaking. I mean spiritual wickedness in high places. This stuff is going all the way to the White House. And now we see it. It's coming out. It's coming out. These preachers are being exposed. Sex trafficking, child pornography. You think what happened to Jeffrey Epstein and what happened to Wine Coincidence? No. That was a sign to the rest of us. If you got your hand in the cookie jar, you better get it out now before you get caught. And what's happening is people are getting caught. You look at what's going on right now with P. Diddy. I mean, this man's empire is crumbling right before his very eyes. Bishop Jakes. And there are some others ought to be shaking in their boots right now. Why? Because the shaking has begun. When you see these things, these big, powerful, powerful leaders, but what they need to know is that they are not more powerful than God. The scripture says, be sure your sins will find you out. Whatever's done in the dark will come to the light. We have an old saying, if it don't come out in the wash, it will surely come out in the rinse. And let me tell you something. This stuff is for real. This child sex trafficking, this child slave trade, this stuff is for real. And people know about it. But these people seem to have thought they were untouchable. They thought they were so powerful that they could buy this and pay for this and buy people off. But let me tell you something. They don't have no power. They don't have any power. They have no power. You know why? Because only God has power. Jesus rose from the grave on the third day, and he declared all power in heaven and in is mine. He has all power. And these people who were deceived and thought they had power, that's why the scripture said, take heed that no man deceive you. See, the enemy can make you think you got power just because you got a whole lot of money. The enemy can make you think you're untouchable. Nobody can touch me. They got Epstein, Andrew. They got Weinstein. They got some of the others. Did P. Diddy think they wasn't going to get him? Did Bishop Jakes think they wasn't going to get him? You know, you have to be careful what come out your mouth. I heard Bishop Jakes say this one time, and I shook my head. He said when he retired, that's when he started making movies. You need to stay in your calling for one thing. God called you to preach. That's what he called you to do. But people branch out into things that God never told them to branch out into. And they end up making connections with people they're not supposed to be connected. Because the Bible says, what fellowship do light have with darkness? It's certain circles preachers don't need to run in. You know, you don't need to be as a man of God invited to P. Diddy's party. Why? Why would they invite you? What is in you that they like, or what is in them that you should like? You got to be careful. The Bible said, be careful when all men speak well of you, for so spake their fathers to the false prophets. You got to be careful. People will tell you you know what, don't stink. Tell you you all that in a bag of chips. They'll blow smoke up your butt if you allow them to. So I heard Bishop Jakes say this one time. He said when he retired, him and his wife, he said, me and Sarita going to have so much money. We just gonna go sit on an island somewhere in lounge chairs and sip pina coladas and just be, you know. In other words, he had mapped out his life, and it was gonna be a life of such ease and you know, wealth, opulence. That's how he mapped it out. But he left God out of the equation. And so now his empire, these little kingdoms are crumbling. Why? Because God is shaking. He's shaking everything that can be shaken so that only that which cannot be shaken will remain. Matthew 24, verse 6 and 7 says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. This verse tells us that there will be earthquakes in various places, wars and rumors of wars. And all of this is unfolding right before our very eyes. And yet, the creator of heaven and earth, the sovereign God, is still in control. Not one hair fall from your head that he does not permit to fall. We must not fear, because all of this is a part of God's plan. Romans 8 and 28 says, and we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. Glory be to God in the highest. We know that God is allowing this for a purpose. The shaking, God is shaking out everything that has been hidden. You see, there's some dead fruit on the tree. It's rotten. It's corrupt. It's not edible. God is shaking. I saw a plum tree one time. Full of plums. And one by one, the wind would shake that tree and knock them off on the ground. Only the fruit that remained on the tree was good for eating. once it hit the ground, a worm will get in it. Men and women's little kingdoms are collapsing right before their very eyes. They are being exposed. Spiritual wickedness in high places. This child sex trafficking goes all the way to the top. That's why Epstein had that little black book. He had some names of some very high-profile people. He knew too much. They had to get rid of him. All the kingdoms of the world are crumbling, and the idols are coming down. The shaking has begun. Yeah, it has begun. What is God saying to his people? Judgment must begin at the house of God first. Pastors that's got their hand in the till, stealing the money. Pastors that are whoremongers, going with the women in the church, taking advantage of God's women. You better wake up. You better wake up. You better wake up. You better get yourself together. And the only way you can get yourself together is by repenting. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is still God's hand of mercy extended to his people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. That's the proper order. God don't owe us nothing. If he gave us what we deserve, who could stand? The shaking has begun. We're seeing bridges collapsing. Those six men that were on that bridge in Baltimore had no idea that they were going to lose their life that day. But they did. He did. Ship crashed into the bridge. Husbands, fathers, brothers, uncles. Everything changed. Everything changed in a moment. In a moment. That is why we've got to get into divine alignment, the word of God. Come out of these synagogues of Satan. And I know some people say, well, I know what's going on, but I'm just praying for my pastor. Let me tell you something. You can pray for him across the street, but you better get out of there. You better get out of there. Because if you sit in there, you are a partaker of his sins. I'm not encouraging you to go around talking about him. You are supposed to pray for him. But you get out of there also. Don't sit in there when you know corruption and wickedness is going on. I'm not talking about somebody showing favoritism. I'm not talking about somebody who roll their eyes at you or somebody who didn't speak to you or acknowledge you. I'm not talking about that kind of foolishness. I'm talking about corruption. You know he's going with somebody's wife in the church. You know he's messing around. You know who's stealing the money. That's what I'm talking about. you better get out of there. You better get out of there. You better run for your life. Don't sit in no church where you know wickedness is going on. And you sitting up there talking, I'm just supposed to pray for him. Like I said, you can pray across the street. But you don't sit in there. Come out from among them, saith the Lord. Let's turn there. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord, which means agreement or fellowship, have Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Glory be to God. Let's talk about these idols that are in the church. Some of them are people. We have made idols out of certain preachers, out of certain singers. We've made idols out of certain musicians. And God hates idols. He said, come out from among them. You know what's going on in there. It was going on when you were a child, and it's still going on. That ain't God's house. That's their house. He said, come out from among them. Light and darkness cannot be in the same place. Either the light is going to drown out the darkness, or the darkness is going to drown out the light, one or the other. There can be no mixture. No mixture. Glory be to God. And you got to be willing to trust God that he will lead you to green pastures. You say, well, I've been in this church all my life. My family's been here. My granddaughter, he built a pew in this church. You better come out of there. And you better trust God that he will lead you to green pastures. Glory be to God. Sheep need a pastor. A pastor is one who loves and cares for the sheep. They have a heart for God's people. They don't make merchandise out of God's people. We got to come out of these places where we know God is not. He's not going to be in a place of darkness where unrighteousness reigns. He's not going to be there. I don't care how much music you put on it. I don't care. I don't care how much the preacher who. I don't care. If it's wicked, he's not going to be there. We saw the pastor from New Year. I don't even know what to say about that. That man plays secular music in the house of God, and the people were getting down. It was just like the club. It was no different. And then he prophesied to them, saying, God said, by this time next year, they're going to have three houses with their name on it. I just shook my head when I saw that. I said, Lord, have mercy. He stood there and boldly lied on God. You might say, well, you don't know whether God said that. It's not biblical. You show me in the Bible where God said that. God is never going to say something to a man that contradicts his word, where God said that. Would he ever promise people material things if they serve him? Never, never. Some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord. God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness, and he provided for them. He took care of them, but not once did he promise them a life of luxury. You can't find that in the scriptures. This is why the shaking has begun. There are many preachers who are prophesying to God's people in the name of the Lord, taking the people's money, buying jet airplanes, doing all these things, living in mansions while the people are living in shacks. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. They setting up little kingdoms right here on the earth. Got people bowing down to them. I will bow my knee to no man. They even had the Pope. He came to the United States and people bowed down to him. Thou shalt have no other God before me. They ain't bowing down to no man. They ain't bowing down to no Pope. I wouldn't care. I don't care who he is. I'm not bowing down to him. No president, none of that. I'm not going to bow. I won't do it. Because the Bible says, don't do it. Now, it says, give honor. I can shake his hand. I can call him Mr. President. Hello, Mr. President. Hello, Miss Vice President. But I will not bow to them. I can't bow to another human being. Glory be to God in the highest. And it seems that the moment they began to take the Ten Commandments out of things, that's when the people began to do all these crazy things. Let's look at Exodus chapter 20. Maybe we need a refresher course, what God said don't do. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. These are the Ten Commandments. This is what the Lord said we shall not do. And we are living in a society that is doing the exact opposite of everything that God has told us not to do. And we wonder why judgment has begun at the house of God. I'm going to tell you why in my closing. The reason judgment is beginning at the house of God is because God said something about his people. We are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its favor, it is good for nothing but to be trampled under men's feet. This is what the Lord said about us. That we are the light of the world. You take this light and it illuminates the whole room. You don't put it under a bed or a bushel. You put it on a lampstand and it lights up the whole room. So we have no reason not to understand why judgment will begin at the house of God. It has to, because we are in charge. God expects us to keep the Ten Commandments. He expects us to exalt his name and expects us to commit our souls to his keeping and to the keeping of his word, to follow and obey his commandments. He expects us, believers, to do that, not the world. That's why judgment's going to begin at the house of God. Because of the wickedness, the violence, and the corruption that is taking place now in the house of God, amongst God's people. He will not judge the world until he has judged the people of God first. So I want to close with this. The shaking, it has begun. Remember, you heard it here first. The shaking has begun. And God is shaking. Everything that can be shaken will remain. Anything that's rotten, he's shaking it. Anything that's corrupt, he's shaking it. Anything that's violent, he's shaking it. All manner of wickedness is shaken. And these secret sins, God is dealing with it. He's exposing it and shaking it. The stuff you think nobody know about. Pastors are being exposed. I'm telling you. pastor shall be exposed. I believe that God is a God of grace and mercy. I believe that you've been warned. I know you've been warned on this program. You've been warned time and time again. And that is why the shaking has begun. Stay tuned. This is your hostess, Evangelist Janet Taylor, coming to you live from Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministry International. You can find us on the web at www.wallsoffiredeliverancemin.com. You can also email us at jet245@msn.com. And you can contact us by phone at 336-830-0601. Or if you care to snail mail us, you may do so at P.O. Box 1148, Walkertown, North Carolina, 27051. If you feel led by the Holy Spirit to sow a seed into this ministry, do so at Zelle, using Zelle or PayPal. And the ID is JET245@MSN.com. We want to say thank you. We invite you to tune in to join us Monday through Saturday for the Sweet Hour of Prayer at 12 noon, that's Eastern Standard Time, and on Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The phone number for the Sweet Hour of Prayer is 425-436-6333. That's 425-436-6333. The access code is 716-5050, followed by the pound sign. That's 716-5050, followed by the pound sign. This is your hostess, Evangelist Janet Taylor, saying good night. I want to close with this scripture. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. God bless you, and good night.